It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 27-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
I know that home sales are doing rather well, but I think a lot of people these days are deciding to stay in their home and renovate. What's going on in the renovation market? Is there more than one type?
Absolutely, Steve. There's actually two kinds of renovators. What we're seeing the largest group of people renovating are the new homeowners. They're taking on the larger projects. So it's somebody who just purchased a home and they want to redo it. They didn't want to buy an old house. They wanted to buy something that was more centrally located. So they're buying that older home, turning into bigger projects. For example, they're remodeling the kitchens. That's the most popular. Then they're tackling the bathrooms and then maybe doing, you know, curb appeal projects such as painting the house, roof, et cetera. And they're spending on average about $66,000 on homes. Then your next kind of homeowner, renovator, they're spending about $36,000. That's the person who's been in their house 25 years. They don't really want to move. And they tend to tackle the projects on their own. They might not hire that general contractor.
Yeah.
Therefore, they tend to spend less. But the new home buyer coming in spends a lot more than the current person currently living in the house.
Yeah. So this is a good time for anyone really in the local remodeling construction business, I guess, for people who sell flooring and those kinds
Absolutely.
Of services as well. They're doing pretty well. And I guess it means it's good for the Home Depots and Lowe's and other do-it-yourself
stores. Keep buying stock in them.
Yeah. Hey, don't make any stock recommendations here. That's for sure. All right. Let's change subjects here. Many of us have bought and sold homes, you know, numerous times. What problems can arise that may derail a closing date?
Sure. There's actually two issues, delaying a date and terminating a closing ever happening. First item, let's talk about delayed closings. They tend to be issues with the buyer's finance. Appraisals tend to slow things down if they don't appraise.
Mm-hmm.
Home inspections may have to have some repairs made that'll delay a closing. They're talking about issues with the title and deed. I don't see that often personally, but that's at 11%. Contingencies stated in the contract, for example, contingent on someone else's property closing, that can delay a closing. And then just general overall buying of distressed properties, there tends to be a lot of issues that pop up with distressed properties that can delay a closing. Those are your top reasons.
Well, hold on. Before you go on, I want to address one of the points that you made. You said contingencies stated in the contract, and one might be waiting for a home to sell. So let's talk right about that.
Sure.
In today's market, is it better to buy first and then sell, or wait till you sell your home and then buy?
Yeah, well, it depends on how much money you have. Here's the problem. Most people can't afford to buy a house and then sell the house. That means they would be carrying two mortgages. There are certain ways you can work around that problem if you have a lot of equity in your home. One way would be a bridge loan, which is very limiting, but if you have equity in a house, there are some bridge loans out there. And then second is to tap into maybe a current equity line of credit that you have on your home. That really is the way that most people that are in a position with a lot of equity can buy first, then sell,
mm-hmm.
unless they just have a lot of money in the bank. Now, reality, you want to buy a house, but you need to sell your house. So what happens is, and I got this story going on right now, put the house up for sale. First person that walks in wants to buy it. Now the homeowner panics. Oh my gosh, I have no place to go. They dilly-dally stall negotiating with the buyer who really wants the house while we're trying to find a house for them.
Yeah.
4 days later, we go back to the first buyer and they've said, sorry, we didn't want to wait any longer.
Oh,
we've moved on.
Wow.
We see this time and time and time again. The only way that you can really work around this, and the best advice that I have for anyone trying to do this, is put your home up for sale, but you have to have plan B. Plan B is you're moving in with a family, a relative, you're taking temporary housing, whatever it takes. Put your home up for sale. You can't become a serious buyer until you have a contract on your house. And there may be a gap. There may be a 30-day, 60-day, maybe even 90-day gap between the time you close on your home and you find another home to move into. But you have to be prepared for that scenario. Otherwise, it's like trying to do gymnastics on a balance beam. It's really, really challenging and difficult. to sell your house and buy a house.
Well, the bottom line too is you have to find a place for your furniture. So you've got to get all that into storage. Then you've got to get it out of storage. So it's complicated, but it's...
And it's done all the time. I mean, I do them all the time. Mm-hmm. And I tell my customers, we can do this, but you have to have plan B. If you have plan B in place, chances are you won't even have to go to plan B. It just always seems to work out, Steve. Get a house, the house under contract. We go out and look for a house. And sure enough, there's a house there just waiting for you to buy it. So usually just works out. I'd say it's at least 90% of the time.
Oh,
I only
good.
Have about 10% have to go to plan B.
Okay. Well, that 10% would be me, I'm sure. All right. You know, there's a lot of shows on TV about buying and flipping. Are people flipping their homes as much, or are they treating them more like longer-term investment properties?
Yeah, we're seeing the flippers, investors wanting to be more landlords right now, and that's because the income potential. The appreciation isn't rising as quickly. You know, the flip opportunity has subsided. Rents are on the rise. Most investors are getting a good return. So we're seeing a lot of them, they will be flippers, but they're waiting, you know, 4 or 5 years before they flip the house.
Yeah.
So it's not a fix and flip anymore.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the property prices aren't rising quick enough. But I'll tell you, I've looked at some deals in the last 3 or so months, and any buy and then rent out deal, I just couldn't get the numbers to work. The rents don't seem high enough to justify current prices and all the other fixed costs.
You have to be a cash buyer, to be honest, to make the numbers work. You know, put the money down and now you've got an income stream. If you have to take out a mortgage in order to do this,
forget it.
You really need to look at a lot of different factors. And it isn't as lucrative as it is if your inability to put a lot of cash down on it.
Yeah. And the key is you have to do your homework. You really have to crunch every single number you can think of as an expense for owning a
vacancy
house.
Rates. You have to take into consideration the taxes, regulations. There's a lot of different factors.
Yeah. Don't just assume that it's real estate and it's low risk, because there is risk to your money in any kind of investment of that type. My guest, as always, is Terry Story. Terry is a 27-year veteran with Coldwell Banker, located in Boca Raton, Florida, and she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.